as I was sitting there and pondering on the hymn and also the little message for the children and thinking about the flag and our country, I really privately, in my private thoughts and prayers, every time I hear our volunteer fire department, I give thanks to God for them and also pray for them. And I hope you like this okay, but I think every time, because we have a member, I think, who had to leave for that, every time we hear that during a service, I'm going to stop at that point, not in the middle of a hymn or a prayer, but when there's a time, I'm going to pray for those going out at that time and for those who are helping. I'm just short. And I do this all the time privately, but I thought, Carl, let's do it in the congregation. We're intimately connected with them and their service. Dear Father in heaven, please continue to be with our firefighters and emergency crews who are out right now. Be with them, protect them, and be with those they are helping. In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon today is based on this reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And there is something among theology students, pastoral students, especially Lutherans, a distinction. It's called the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. Two different theologies, and Martin Luther, at the time of the Reformation, first noted this, and it continues to be a helpful way of thinking and thinking about our salvation in Jesus Christ and so forth. In this passage, it's pretty clear what is so important to Paul is this theology of the cross. I reread that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. For the Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you'd like to follow along and fill in the blanks in the sermon note, it's on the back page of the bulletin. God's wisdom is foolishness to the unbeliever. This is what Paul clearly states here. It's a mystery, but it's a spiritual truth. And also, the world's unbelieving wisdom is foolishness to God. Now, normally, we might think as humans, just in our normal human thinking, what we think is wise must be wise to God. What we think is smart must be also smart to God. But actually, Paul says it's the opposite. God has a wisdom that appears foolish to those who don't believe. And the wisdom of those who don't believe is a foolishness to God. In that section, he gives two examples of perceived human wisdom. And on the Jews, Paul said, they tended, the Jews in his day, and certainly the Jews that listened to Jesus and the ones that disagreed with Jesus and debated with Jesus, they kept saying to Jesus, and Paul experienced this too, oh, do a miracle, then we'll believe. Do a miracle, then we'll believe. And Jesus wouldn't be tested like that. And he responded in different ways. The sign that we'll give to this generation is a sign of Jonah, who was in the earth in the belly of the fish for 3 days, prophesying his own death, being buried for 3 days and rising from the dead. And Jesus said, oh, a wicked generation requires a sign. To God, it's foolishness to demand a miracle to say, I won't believe unless you do this miracle that I say. You have to obey me, God. That's foolishness. That's not faith. So some respond like that. And then Paul also said, Greeks demand wisdom. The Greeks and the Greek culture of Paul's day, they liked different human theories and philosophical ways of looking at life. And they didn't all agree. There was different ways of looking at life, different Greek philosophies. But that way of thinking in the Greek culture, especially at that time and their traditions, they said, prove it out to me. Prove it to me philosophically how Jesus is the Christ or the Son of God. Prove it to me point by point. A equals B and B equals C and C equals D, and therefore A equals D. Prove that out like that in human wisdom. And sometimes people of various cultures also think like that. If God will prove to me logically so I can perceive all the mysteries, then I will believe in Jesus. Sometimes humans think like that. But Paul says he would only preach the wisdom of Jesus' death and resurrection. That is God's wisdom. He said, we preach Christ crucified. That wisdom from God makes no sense to the unbeliever, makes no sense in the signs that people are. You demand a miracle. Well, Jesus dying on a cross? Demand philosophical proof. Jesus dying on a cross like a thief? That makes no sense. And you remember that Jesus died publicly. Everybody saw that. It was the Roman soldiers carried out that sentence. It was a public execution. But you remember, Paul says about 500 people saw the risen Jesus. Not everybody saw the risen Jesus. Not Pilate or King Herod or the high priest who held Jesus on trial. They did not see the risen Jesus Christ. The resurrection is by faith. It's not a sign that the whole world saw. It's by faith. It's a message that those who saw Jesus alive would carry out. So that public crucifixion and the testimony that he's risen from the dead, that is the wisdom that Paul would stick to. That was the wisdom of God to bring faith and to save. This, in part, is what is the theology of the cross. The things that seem weak, the things that make Jesus look defeated, or Christianity doesn't look so beautiful, that's the theology of the cross. God brings salvation into something that was just awful, the crucifixion of Jesus, but that's the victory of God. And so faith believes in what Jesus has done for us, and knows that blesses us and forgives us and gives us life. But in a real way, it's hidden. It's hidden. Because not all Christians are rich or wealthy or well or successful. And so, but you believe in that Jesus crucified. If you believe in that, why aren't you rich? Why aren't you wealthy? Why aren't you healthy? I believe in Jesus. It's not me that proves it. It's what Jesus has done for me, the theology of the cross, the teaching of the cross. And Paul said nothing but that. In our own lives, truth and wisdom from God's word is often just the opposite. Often just the opposite of the world's truth and wisdom. And as Christians, this is very important for us to continue to think about. Because as humans, we like the proof of measurements. I was poor, now I'm wealthy. Look, I have more money, I can count. I was not successful, now I'm successful. Look how I've arrived. We like to measure things like that. And so too often we're tempted to put that into our faith. Put that into our belief system and think, well, God hasn't healed me. Well, God hasn't blessed me with money, so that must mean that God doesn't love me. And maybe I should be like Elisha and run away to a cave. That first reading. He says, everybody's against me. They've all, so God, where are you? There's nobody left. It's just me. Well, it wasn't just him. He said God told him there's 7,000 others who have not worshiped Baal. But Elijah was measuring things and being successful prophet and being respected and being revered, but instead he was being hunted down. But the truth was the opposite. He was God's honored prophet who spoke God's word. And God had to remind him, no, you are my prophet. Go back. Anoint these two kings, and Elisha shall follow you. Not as you're measuring. You're measuring in the world's way of thinking. But God wanted him to believe and trust in him. Another example is just the Luke 12 reading that I had printed out in the bottom of that back cover underneath that outline. I'll read that out loud and just point out two things. From Luke 12, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is another example. The theology of glory and thinking, I can measure these things. I must be okay. I must be safe now. So take it easy. I'm okay. Not thinking anything about God. Not thinking anything about obeying God, honoring God, but just thinking, I'm okay. Look at all I have. And in the parable, Jesus said, that's foolishness. What you need is to be rich with God. And Paul teaches us to be rich in God. What to be rich with God, to be in God's favor, is Christ crucified. That is what I need. And we can be fooled by the world, or Satan can mislead us to think these things of the world that you can measure that seem to be wonderful and seem to have power and honor and security. But in fact, Paul's teaching, Jesus' parable, and all of Scripture teaches us, don't look to these things whether you have them or you don't. That's not your security. Rest in God. Rest in Christ crucified. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your Son, Jesus, who saved us with his suffering and death and resurrection. And we ask you to continually, every day, increase our faith in this salvation that he has gained for us. It's not how much we have or how little we have. It is Jesus. Give us confidence in that, joy in that. And we ask you to also help us to speak this to others. My friend, my family, your security, your safety is not in this or that, but in Jesus. Trust in him. Give these words and faith to us every day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.